Hawker and Lockheed team up to pursue an Air Force contract. It took 5 years, but Amerijet pilots have a contract. And a House bill for FAA funding has terms which have angered the Europeans. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 17, 2009. Hawker Beechcraft and Lockheed Martin have teamed up for the opportunity to provide a LAR, or Light Attack and Armed Reconnaissance Aircraft, to the U.S. Air Force. The service is expected to launch an acquisition program in fiscal 2010, which starts, by the way, in 2 weeks. Hawker Beechcraft CEO Bill Boyster calls the proposed AT-6 LAR, quote, a low-risk, low-cost solution that complements existing combat aircraft capabilities and will contribute to the Air Force's building partner capacity initiatives around the world, unquote. Lockheed's Marilyn Hewson notes her company's systems integration expertise, quote, together we have a strong offering that will deliver a needed light attack capability requested by the warfighter, unquote. A second prototype of the aircraft is under construction now. Expected missions include manned intelligence surveillance and reconnaissance, light precision attack, homeland defense, and civil support. Does this bring home that we're in the age of UAVs or what? They have to specify manned intelligence surveillance and reconnaissance. There didn't used to be any other kind. The Teamsters credit support of their picket lines by other labor groups for a successful conclusion of a pilot strike against Amerijet International. The company flies cargo out of Miami International Airport to South America and the Caribbean. The contract battle had gone on for the entire 5 years since the pilots voted for representation by the Teamsters. After a federal mediator declared an impasse and both sides sat out a mandatory 30-day cooling-off period, the strike began on August 27th. Teamsters General President Jim Hoffa notes that workers in many other unions representing pilots at other airlines and a wide array of service personnel, even outside the U.S., refused to cross picket lines. Quote, we had tremendous industry support. This contract is a major step forward for the pilots, unquote. The pilots say they've won improvements in wages and benefits, a revised sick leave policy, and an agreement by the company for the first time to install lavatories on planes used for long-haul cargo routes. Protectionist and pro-union sentiment within the U.S. House of Representatives has brought about an FAA reauthorization bill that risks running afoul of agreements previously negotiated with European regulators. The House bill would require the FAA to conduct its own inspections of foreign repair stations servicing U.S. aircraft twice per year. The EU says that violates its agreement with the U.S. to essentially trust each other's regulated repair stations. There are also fears retaliation by the EU would bring heavy fees for U.S. repair stations working on European aircraft. The Senate's version of FAA reauth also calls for FAA inspections, but includes an exemption for foreign stations in countries with bilateral agreements already in place, accommodating the pre-existing agreements with EU countries. Up next on ANN, with an ultralight like this, who needs an LSA? Training for F-35 pilots will use lots of SIM technology. And NBAA wants to help you cross the border for a fee. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 17th. I'm Paul Plack. B-Light Aircraft is offering a new, lower-cost version of its Part 103 compliant fixed-wing plane which uses more aluminum, less carbon fiber, and results in a basic 242-pound aircraft that sells fully assembled for under $30,000. The B-Lite 254 includes a 5-gallon detachable fuel tank for easy refueling, 5-inch wheels, brakes, electric start, full Lexan windshield and sunroof, fiberglass cowling, flight instrumentation, electric start, electric fuel gauge, and more, and still leaves about 12 pounds of headroom for customization by the owner. The premium B-Lite 254 CF brings upgrades including all the carbon fiber goodies, radio, larger engine, ballistic chute, covered aft fuselage, and more at an MSRP of $54,995. Both planes can be flown with no pilot certificate, medical, or FAA registration. CEO James Wiebe says the new lower-cost version answers the wishes of customers who have asked for, quote, a measure of tail-dragger conventionality at a price that is well below the bottom level of the light sport market, unquote. He also says a low-cost kit will be announced by the end of the month. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter will become a common sight in the skies over the Florida Panhandle. Eglin Air Force Base has been designated as the training site for F-35 pilots from around the world, and the first of the planes will arrive at the base next year. Not only will the planes be flying, but interconnected full mission simulators will allow trainees to practice formation flight and even war games. During a program update at the Air Force Association Air and Space Conference and Technology Exposition in Washington, D.C., Eric Branyan, Lockheed Martin VP and F-35 Deputy Program Manager, revealed the extent to which technology will be used to train those F-35 pilots, who, quote, will have the use of portable laptop trainers that they can check out and take home. The trainers include a stick and throttle and helmet display glasses, along with a realistic F-35 panoramic cockpit display, voice command, and internet connectivity for multi-ship formations, unquote. You just know the gaming industry is going to be all over this. The National Business Aviation Association has unveiled a new resource to help members comply with Customs and Border Protection APIS requirements. APIS stands for Advanced Passenger Information System. The association has partnered with ARINC Direct Business Aviation Solutions to offer this tool for general aviation and commercial aircraft required to provide passenger manifest and aircraft info prior to departure on all international flights to or from the U.S. NBAA President Ed Boland says, quote, APIS requirements are not always easy to meet, and we want to assist our members ease the stress of doing business in other countries, unquote. The association claims the system has been fully approved by CBP, stores manifest info on secure servers, and allows real-time approval of all transmissions. It can be used for Part 91 or Part 135, and the cost is $25 per flight. Contact NBAA for details. Still ahead, did you know yesterday was National Aerospace Day? It's siesta time for Bombardier, and SOS finally gets some respect. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 17th. I'm Paul Plack. You may have missed this. It went by pretty quick. In a move that cries out for sarcasm, both houses of the U.S. Congress have passed resolutions proclaiming September 16th as National Aerospace Day. Marion Blakey, the president of the Aerospace Industries Association, says it's a big deal and, quote, sends a powerful message to thousands of our workers across the nation. At a time when the nation is working its way out of an economic slump, recognizing an industry that exported $95 billion last year is an important morale booster, unquote. The proclamation didn't get much notice or promotion outside the industry, so you may have missed the holiday yesterday. Ironically, thanks in part to previous proclamations by members of Congress and the Obama administration, roughly half the Cessna workforce had the day off to celebrate. Proving that crazy acronyms are not the exclusive territory of government and space agencies, Bombardier Aerospace Tuesday celebrated the groundbreaking for CIASTA. That's the Complete Integrated Aircraft Systems Test Area for its forthcoming C-Series aircraft. It's located at Mirabel, 45 minutes north of Montreal. The CIASTA is a testing and systems proving facility that will house a virtual C-Series test aircraft. Reliability and functionality testing there will commence a year before the actual prototype first flies. CEO Guy Hatchie told gathered employees, supporters, partners, customers, and the media that Tuesday was a red-letter day for the company. Quote, "Eventually, we will erect a complex of buildings here that will total 860,000 square feet. That's the size of 15 football fields to produce the C-Series family of aircraft," unquote. I hope that acronym doesn't hurt their productivity. When I hear CIASTA, it makes me want to pull my sombrero down low across my face and catch a nap. And finally today, SOS is not technically an acronym because it's not pronounced as a word. It's just an abbreviation, and one that usually doesn't mean something good. In the early days of maritime radio, the Morse code SOS stood for Save Our Ship, and if it was transmitted, you were having a really bad day. World War II GIs used SOS as an abbreviation for an unsavory combination of chipped beef on toast. The OS stood for on a shingle. You can fill in the rest at home. SOS has also been the brand name for a cleaning product which for years was the nuclear option when pots and pans were really a mess. But things are looking up for SOS. NASA, which is the world's headquarters for overwrought acronyms, is inviting the public to experience Science on a Sphere, which opened Tuesday at 38 theaters worldwide. SOS uses images from actual NASA probes projected onto a 6-foot globe in a darkened movie theater to simulate the experience of traveling to Jupiter. Viewers are treated to an up-close personal encounter with the Great Red Spot. That's a storm larger than Earth that's been raging for hundreds of years on Jupiter. They'll also experience dramatic fireballs with up to 6 million megatons of explosive power from the impacts of the doomed comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, which left planet-sized bruises of soot hanging for months in the Jovian atmosphere. They'll learn about the 60 moons orbiting Jupiter, including tormented Io, which gushes fountains of molten sulfur over 100 miles high, and fractured Europa, which may harbor oceans of liquid water and maybe even life beneath its cracked icy crust. The film is entitled Largest, that's in all caps, honoring Jupiter's rank as our solar system's largest planet. Senior producer Michael Starrobin, yeah, that's his real name, of Honeywell Technology Solutions, says his team succeeded in casting Jupiter as a real character. Quote, "This was a thrilling project to develop. Jupiter is not only a perfect subject for the sphere, but also simply a great subject for a movie. It brings abstract ideas to vibrant life and makes the fifth planet real in fresh, unexpected ways," unquote. Most of the theaters showing the film are in the U.S. At the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net, dated September 16th, there's an FMI link that leads to NASA's webpage about Largest, and at the bottom of that page is a partial list of theaters. So if you're bored recently by Hollywood, suggest to your friends that they join you for an evening of SOS. Given the abbreviation's history, you might have to tell them why that's now a good thing. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear from two interesting people we saw at Oshkosh. Jessica Cox was born without arms, but went on to earn her sport pilot certificate with the help of Able Flight. Larry Neal talked with us about the Super Sky Cycle, a rotable gyroplane or flying motorcycle, depending on your point of view. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.